Tree student, you can meet Jonathan there at the back door, and he will take you all down. We've sort of come to a sad moment here because we've actually come, believe it or not, to the end of Joshua. We are going to end the book of Joshua here, and there's a lot more to this book, but this is where we're going to end it. And if you remember, as we've walked through Joshua, we've been looking through for Jesus. We've seen Joshua, the Hebrew word Joshua, Yeshua, is Jesus. So Jesus' name is on this book. We've seen Jesus through the red cord that saved Rahab and her family. We've seen Jesus deliver the Israelites. As God delivered the Israelites, as He went forward and destroyed each nation of the Canaanites, Jesus has delivered us from sin. And then finally, we've seen how Jesus gave them the promised land. God has offered us a promised land. It's a heavenly land, not one that is here on earth. And I would encourage you to go back and read chapters 12 through 22, because, can I have the map real quick? As 12 through 22, you're going to get all of that. And that's when God rested, when God said, let the land rest. From 12 to 22, He breaks the land up. And 12 through 22 describes the borders of these lands. And while it seems a little, you know, why do we want to know that? It shows the preciseness of God. It shows God taking care of His people. And within these divisions, He gives them security. He gives them hope. So I would encourage you to go back and read 12 through 22 as well. We're going to start with Joshua 14. So if you would turn there, we're going to begin there. And as you're turning there, I would like to give you this quote that is sort of the foundation of this last section that we're going to read. And it's a promise that one of our characters today, although he did not know this promise, these words, it was a promise he had in his heart and something that he relied on. And the quote is, we don't know who said it, but it says, tarry at the promises till God meets you there. Tarry at the promises till God meets you there. He always returns by way of His promise. I'll say it again. Tarry at the promise till God meets you there. He will always return by way of His promises. And that's going to be the foundation here that we're going to walk into. So let us pray. Lord, we give You praise. We give You glory for who You are. We stand in awe, Lord, that we could have this moment to sit at Your feet to hear Your word, Lord. This is not about anything that's been written on this paper. It's not about anything that's been studied, Lord. It's all about You and Your truth and what You've done. Lord, let us draw close to You. Let us see Your glory. Let us see Your Son. And let us praise You for the victory that we have in You. Lord, use me now and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. These final two chapters, we're going to look at two characters who have gone through the book. One of them really hasn't been mentioned until now. But to get to these two characters, we've got to go to the past. So we've got to go to the prequel. So we're going to back up a little bit, and we're going to go to Numbers 32. In Numbers 32, in verse 10, we read these words, "And the Lord's anger was kindled on that day, and He swore, saying, surely none of the men who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed Me, none except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed Me." We're going to look at Caleb and Joshua. We kind of forget about Caleb because here in Numbers and in Deuteronomy again, Caleb's mentioned, but then he kind of vanishes until we get to the division of the promised land. And so let us look at Caleb. Go to Joshua 14. We're going to start at verse 6. Now, what's happening here is Joshua has come to the division of Judah. And he's dividing up the land of Judah. And so when he's dividing this land up, Caleb steps in. And Caleb has a request. Verse 6, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortitude cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. You see, Caleb comes back and he says, "You know." See, if you remember, all through Joshua, what have we known? We have known the words "heard." They heard, they heard, they heard, they heard, and they ran. Here, Caleb's coming and he says, "You know." The last time someone said, "You know," they were talking strongly for the Lord. Rahab said, "I know that your God is the only God." Caleb is saying, "I know, you know what the Lord said." We have to remember the promises God made. What was the promise God made us? In Numbers 14:20, "Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give their fathers. None of those who despise me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." You see, he's reminding him, God said this was mine. You were there, I was there. God reminded us, we have to go back to our foundations. And Caleb is taking Joshua back to the foundations, back to the promises of God. If you remember, what were the promises that God gave Joshua? He said, "Keep the word in front of me. Don't depart from it, left or right. Meditate on it day and night. And when you do these things, you will have success in the land." We come to chapter 11, 28, 23, and what happens? The land rested. Joshua had success in the land because he remembered the foundations of the Lord. He followed what the Lord had required of him. Caleb has followed what the Lord has required. He says, "I brought word," in verse 7, "as it was in my heart." I brought what was in my heart. I got there. I walked the promised land just like the others. I saw the giant fortified cities just like the others. I saw their weapons. And I had to question just for a second. But I remembered, what did God say? What did God do? God got us out of Egypt. God crossed the Red Sea. He said that this is our land. They're big. They're mighty. But we serve a God who's bigger. And I will not back down, because God told us this was ours. So I spoke what was holy in my heart. I followed him wholly. And if you look at holy, holy means entirely, not holding back. Caleb wasn't going to back up. And you see, this was a scary situation, because there's 10 other spies here that are saying, "Whoa, hold on, no. They are too big. They are too dangerous. There's no way." And the people started to agree with these 10 spies. Here is Caleb standing on his own with Joshua saying, "Wait, didn't God say? Didn't God promise? Isn't God true to His word? We can do this. Doesn't that reflect another account? You see, there's a man in Nazareth who comes out. He's 31, 32, 33, and he comes out and he says, wait, didn't God say? Didn't God promise? Didn't God deliver? You see, Jesus stood against the majority. And what did the majority do? They had him killed. Caleb and Joshua are in that place of being threatened. They could be stoned for blasphemy. You don't know what you're talking about. You're too young to know what you're talking about. But Caleb said, no, God said, and I will follow. He followed wholeheartedly, and then God steps in, and what did God say? You won't listen to me, fine. You won't get into the promised land. But these two, they followed me wholeheartedly, and they will get into the promised land. They trusted God with everything that they had. And in verse 13, he is rewarded. Caleb is rewarded at 85 years old. 85 years old. So if you're 85 or older, don't look at it and say, I'm too old, I can't, I'm done. Look at this. 85 years old, Caleb drives out the inhabitants of Hebron. He still had strength. He still had power. You see, he was 40 years old when the promise was made back in Numbers. You see, 40 years old, he stands against the majority and trust God's word with all that he is. He has to wait 40 more years in the wilderness because of disobedience. And then he has to fight for 7 to conquer the promised land. And in that 7 years, when it is finally done, the fulfillment of God's promise comes to pass. You see, Caleb understood, tarry on the promises till God meets you there. You see, that whole time he's standing here and he's like, it's gone. It's gone. We can't cross. It's gone. But God said, God's true to His word. Year 1, year 2, year 3, wandering in the desert, getting so close, and it's right there. And more than likely, because we're human, he got sick a couple times in those 40 years. And God said that I was going to get there. Am I going to get there? But God is true. I'm going to hold on to that promise. And then he finally gets the call. Let's go. We're crossing over. Yes, this is the moment I've been waiting for. And he crosses. And you could almost see the tears coming out of Caleb's eyes as his feet are finally back 40 years later where they started. I am home. But it's not mine yet. And he has to fight for his land. And now it is his. So he understood, tarry on that promise. Hold to that promise because God's going to come back to it. And he's going to deliver it. And that's exactly what Caleb does. And if you read the next chapter, he goes in and he destroys Hebron. He even makes a pact with the other Israelites to say, whoever helps me here, we'll get the hand of my daughter. And his cousin comes along and gets the hand of his daughter. Caleb believed. Caleb trusted. And he was rewarded for it. The other person that we know is the one who's written this book, and that's Joshua. Joshua had his ups, he had his downs. But he always stayed true. Even when he messed up, like an eye, he still trusted and he still walked the truth with God. And now he comes and he's pretty old. And he comes to the leaders of the Israelites. And he charges them with these commands. Starting at verse 1, a long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. You see what Joshua is saying? See, remember, we have heard. We have heard that you are coming. We have heard what your God has done, and our hearts have melted. How many times through the book of Joshua did we read those words? See, now Joshua says, you've seen it. It's not just something you've heard. It's not something that has come. You've seen it firsthand. You've seen the waters part as we crossed the Jordan River. You've seen the walls of Jericho crumble. You've seen how we've destroyed five armies in one day. How we destroyed 10 or more in one day. You have seen this. You are now eyewitnesses to this. So when doubt enters your mind, when it enters your heart, you say, no, wait, I have seen. I have seen the glory of the Lord. I have seen the victory of the Lord. I have seen how God has fought for me. No. No. I have to continue to move in trusting the Lord. He says, to see is to worship, to serve, to fear the Lord in reverence. Because he says, remember your foundation. Starting at verse 6, he says, be strong. Be strong. Remember, that was the command of Joshua. Be strong. Be strong in me. He says, keep all the commandments that are written. Do all the commandments that are written. Do not turn to the left or the right from them. In verse 8, he says, cling to the Lord. Have you ever had a clingy kid? You ever had one? Jovi Lynn is a clingy kid. She loves daddy. And it doesn't matter where she is and where I am, she finds me. The other day she was playing and I went to the other side of the house to the bathroom and then the sliding door, and there's this little dinky thing coming in. And when she comes in, her hands somehow are magnetized and she grabs a hold of my pant leg and I'm like shaking to get her off. I'll even slide over, and as I'm sliding over, she's grabbing the other one. And I'm like trying to waddle out the house. She's clingy. That's what he's saying. Cling to the Lord. With all that you are, cling, hold on tight to the Lord. He says, be careful in verse 11. Be careful. Why do we have to be careful? Because if we're not careful, we get sidetracked. If we're not careful, we get distracted. And we forget. He says, be careful to love the Lord. That's a reflection of Deuteronomy 6, which is an extremely important prayer for the Jewish people today. It's called the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. From Jovi's age up, they learned that prayer. That's how important it is. And Joshua is saying, be careful to love. Love the Lord. Because the Lord fought for you. This land is yours because the Lord fought for you. So he's saying here, who paid this price? You didn't do it. God did it. He fought for you. Verse 10 says that no man, no one can claim the victory here. Joshua's name's on it. It's Joshua that history remembers. But it's Joshua who points to God and said, God did it. That no man. Paul reiterates these words in Ephesians 2 when he says that Jesus dying on the cross is a gift that no one can boast, but it was God alone, not of your own doing. It is a gift of God that no man may boast, Ephesians 2:8. God fought the victory. God won the victory on this cross for us. We have victory in Jesus because the Lord fought for us. The Lord fought for Israel. We see Jesus again because the Lord fought. But there's a warning. There's a warning that we have to walk away with. Because he warns the people here in verses 15 and 16. If you look at 15 and 16, he says that, but just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so that the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. We have to be careful where our allegiance is. That's why he says, be careful to love the Lord. Cling to the Lord. If you're clinging to something, do you see anything else? Do you hear anything else? It's just what's right there. So he says, cling, be careful. Because if not, you will be distracted and the Lord will bring upon all these other things. He warns Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I am just a youth, Lord. I'm just a youth. Look at these people. They're smarter than me. They're bigger than me. I'm just a youth. What can I do? In Jeremiah 1, and in verse 17, God says, do not be dismayed or feared or distressed by them, lest I dismay you before them. He says, Jeremiah, if you don't obey what I'm telling you to do, if you don't go where I'm telling you to go, say what I'm tell you to say, despite your fear, trust me, all your fears about them are going to happen. He warns him, obey me or those fears will happen. And Jeremiah, as we know, he obeys the Lord. Joshua is saying the same thing. He's saying we have to fear the Lord, stick with the Lord. We have to be careful to stick with the Lord. Does that mean there's not forgiveness? No, there is forgiveness. As we saw in the battle of Ai, there is forgiveness. There is hope. And he restores the covenant over in chapter 24. He restores the covenant with Israel. And he tells them these. I'd like for you to go back and read over them and highlight these. Because here's what the Lord says. The Lord reminds them that it was not them that did this. He reminds them that he is the one who has fought the battle. And here are some words that he says, and I encourage you to go back and look for them. He says, I took, I made, I gave, I brought, I destroyed, I delivered. I did it. And then he says in verse 12, he says, it was not by your sword or your bow. Yes, you physically went out there and you stabbed someone or shot someone. Yes, that is true. But I gave them into your hands. Those rocks that fell out of heaven that destroyed more armies than your sword, who did that? It was me. The army that got confused, who did that? That was me. God wants the praise of His people. He wants us to look to Him. As Joshua is ending his life here, he's getting old and he's about to die. He wants the people to remember what you've seen. Don't forget what you've seen. Trust the Lord beyond anything. Because he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what was coming. Would another leader come that would walk the ways? And as we know through Scripture, there's a lot of leaders that come up that don't walk in the ways of the Lord. But He wants the people to remember. Remember. Remember the Lord. And He asks them the question that we ask today. Who will you serve? Today you have to choose who you will serve. Will you serve yourself? Your own strength? A world that promises all of these different things, and you know, sometimes it fulfills it. Sometimes, majority of the time, it doesn't. Will you serve them? Or will you serve a God that sometimes in the middle of the night, you're just saying, God, I don't understand this. You've promised this, Lord, and I don't get it, but You promised it. And I know from Your Word and from time and time again, I've seen in Your Word, I've heard in Your Word that You will deliver Your promises. So I am holding on to that promise today. And the biggest promise that You ever promised me was when I close my eyes in death, I will open them with You. I'm holding on to that today. That's a promise that many people around the world hold on to as they face persecution constantly. What is tomorrow going to bring? It doesn't matter, but God's promises do matter. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. Unfortunately, in 24 here, Joshua dies. He dies at 110 years old. But look at his accomplishments. Look at what he did. Chapter 1, God makes these promises that he will succeed if he sticks with him. Chapter 12, verse 24, that says Joshua kills in all 31 kings. 31 kings. Joshua becomes so successful here that Paul in Acts, when he's speaking in Antioch, he tells how God in 7 years destroyed the nation in the conquest. This is a moment that is remembered. It's Joshua's legacy. Israel this day says that they will serve the Lord with all that they are. And they do. They serve the Lord with all that they are. But the sad part is when this generation that has made this commitment to serve the Lord, they die. And we walk into the next book. And the next book begins with these words, Joshua dies and is laid to rest. The generation of Joshua dies and is laid to rest. A new generation arises that did not know the Lord. We have to remember what we've seen. We have to remember what we've heard. We have to remember what we've been promised, and then we have to pass it on. And we have to rise up the next generation to remember. To see where God is, to see who God is. Because here's the promise. Here's the ultimate giant promise of Joshua. That highlight it, circle it, write it on your mirror. Joshua 23:14 says that not one. How many? One. Not one word has failed. Not a single word that God has spoken has failed. In fact, it is so important that he repeats it. Not one of them has failed. That's the truth behind Joshua. That's what we have to take away from Joshua. When you're down, when you're out, when you're beat, and you can't go one step further, come back to 23:14. Not one word of the Lord has failed. Not one of them. It holds today. He sealed it on that cross. He made that promise on that cross. Remember your foundations. Remember what the Lord has done. Pass it on. Fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away false gods. Sometimes that hurts because it's part of my past. It's part of whatever. Put it away and serve the Lord. For as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we stand in awe of you. Lord, we read your promises, we see your promises, Lord, but there are so many times that we question. There are so many times that we feel like we're stuck. Help us to remember Caleb. Help us to remember Joshua and to say, you made this promise and you will fulfill your promise. Help us to come back and no matter how many times we have to read it, help us to read it again and again and again, knowing that not one word of your word has ever failed. You've not promised us riches. You've not promised us success. You've promised us life. Life with you. You've promised us forgiveness. You've promised to make us whole. You've promised us something that we definitely don't deserve, and that's to be like your Son, Jesus. Help us to remember your promises. Help us to hold on to those promises. And then share them. Lord, we praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. That was really a good way to end the study in Joshua. Kind of all boils down to back to the greatest commandment, and that's to love the Lord our God with everything that's in us.